Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
What up? Welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 89. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, I'm kind of thirsty. Can I get a drink of water?
Nope.
Why not?
Because my water's out, dude.
Dude, what happened?
Dude, I did the wrong thing, and now I don't have water.
You say you didn't pay your water bill?
No, I paid it.
You just paid the wrong account?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's cool, because I can't watch television at my house.
Nice. I'd rather have no water.
Really?
I think so.
What if you had to pee?
Well, that's why God made yards.
It's true.
Yeah. And fences.
Without my television, we just put my cat up on the TV stand and watch him.
He just does a dance for you?
No.
He just lays there?
Yeah, he just lays there. It's about as effective as Steve Staios.
It's trade deadline day, dude.
I know. That's why I brought up Steve Staios. Sharks were extremely active.
Or not.
But they did send down Jason Demers and Dwight Halmanen.
Yes. Yes, they did. Which had you all in a big tizzy because you thought that meant they were going
to
trade for somebody.
I did, dude. Well, I thought that... I was trying to read the tea leaves here. Mm-hmm. And by seeing Shelley's salary be cleared, by them kind of making some strange AHL-level moves by signing Andrew Desjardins the other day to an NHL-level contract... Thought that maybe that meant they might be willing to bring him up. I thought Doug Wilson's comments were interesting where he said that we were talking to some teams, but they decided not to make their players available.
Right.
So you can read into that what you want. I think that means that he was maybe waiting on Thomas Kaeberle.
I think so too, because we both subscribe to Darren Dreger's Twitter feed on our phones, which makes us certified hockey dorks as if we weren't already. So every time Darren Dreger has a thought, I get a text message on my phone. And one of the text messages today was, despite media reports, Kaeberle has a deal with Burke saying that if Burke gets an offer for him, Kaeberle wants to see it. So I took that to mean maybe Kaeberle might want to go somewhere if the price was right or the situation was right. And maybe Doug Wilson thought he could be one of those people.
Yeah, we don't know what happened. We certainly don't, but nothing happened in the end.
Nothing
Sharks
happened.
Stood pat, and we'll see what happens. We're going to roll the dice. We stay the course, dude.
Stay the course. We got so many things to talk about. Of course, we got to talk about the gold medal game. We got to talk about the Sharks coming back last night against the Devils, yet to no avail. And of course, we have some emails. So why don't we go chronological order, dude, and first talk about the Olympics. We have some questions about the Olympics, I think.
Dude, the Sharks won the gold medal.
They did. And they also lost the gold medal.
They did.
Yeah. That's the problem. But
I enjoyed that game thoroughly. How could you not?
Oh, God. I mean, I think it... Was it the best hockey game you've ever seen? It was close for me. I think it might have been. I mean, in terms of the stakes, in terms of the excitement surrounding it, also the fact that I was in a bar and everybody was screaming. That
yeah,
certainly...
I got to say that... I didn't quite get as emotionally invested in it as I thought maybe I would because I was honestly a little torn.
Yeah.
You know, when you see, you know, Heatley crashing towards the net and he pulls back to take a shot or someone hits Dan Boyle, you know, you're like, oh, man, you know, no. So you're really feeling it on both ways, dude. But I certainly was excited when USA scored in the last 20 seconds and Joe Pavelski was on the ice for that goal.
Right. Right.
And that was very exciting. But in the end, your friend, Sidney Crosby, comes back and does the damage.
My friend, yeah. Well, you know, I'm happy for the Canadian Sharks, and I'm sad for Pavs. And of course, I was rooting for the USA, but it was a great game. It was great for hockey. You know, some people were really crushed that the US lost. I wasn't like that. I thought it was a great game, and I was sad that they lost. But it wasn't like, you know, Sharks losing to the Ducks in the first round.
No, I felt horrible about that for at least a week.
Oh yeah, easy.
And I believe I continued eating my hot wings after the USA won and didn't really even pause.
Right, right.
So I don't know, does that make me un-American? Perhaps. I did wear a Dan Boyle t-shirt as I watched the game. So
dude,
sorry, dude.
I know,
dude. It was difficult to root against them, but a great game, and most importantly, nobody got hurt.
Nobody, that's right.
And in the end, I got to think that maybe this might be better.
I hope
that it ended up this way. I'll tell you what's not better. Nabby seems to have a little bit of a Olympic hangover.
Yeah, yeah, he didn't play well against the Devils last night. But I want to get to a question that was sort of regarding the Olympics before we get on to the Devils game, dude. This is from Chris, and he says, does Team Canada really remind you of the Sharks? They seem to be choking on the pressure and overpassing a lot. This is obviously before they won the gold medal. Chris wrote this. Even though the team has the Sharks line, I would say the Crosby line has been the most guilty of trying to get too cute. Any truth to that, dude? I guess, you know, they responded to the pressure when it really counted the most. So in that regard, they don't remind me of the Sharks at all.
I thought that they looked pretty good in that gold medal game. That line was pretty dominant.
Yeah.
So as far as getting good too cute, I mean, I don't know. Dude, they kept kind of mixing and matching that line a little bit, didn't they?
Yeah, they moved around. They moved Boyle around, too. He was playing with Drew Doughty sometimes. He was playing with Chris Pronger sometimes. Yeah, they were definitely shifting some stuff around. And we saw... I think the Heatley goal that happened in the gold medal game wasn't when Joe and Patty were out. I think it was other people. So they definitely moved stuff around. Of course, everybody was, the Canadians were all like crazed about how they lost to the U.S. the first time. But maybe that was one of those things where they lost the game at the right time, kind of woke them up a little bit. Hey, maybe we're not just going to cakewalk through this Olympics. And they sure took it out on Germany, and then they took it out on Russia as well. So it was the Canadians' overall benefit, I think.
Yeah, they came together at the right time, like you said, and there's no question they're the best team in the tournament. You know, if the U.S. had won, I mean, you could make a case that they were maybe the fourth best team at that tournament, and they just played better than Russia and Sweden, and, you know, unfortunately, they didn't get to play either of those teams. I'm kind of disappointed, you know, that, we had to play Switzerland twice, which, that's just not very exciting for us as hockey fans, and then... You know, obviously the Finland semifinal game was really disappointing as far as a challenge.
Right.
It was hilarious to watch Kiprusoff pull himself. Never seen that before.
I've never seen
really
that.
Really in any professional sport.
Well, you know, I think of the Patrick Waugh situation that got him traded from the Canadiens. For those of you that don't remember, he gave up 4 or 5 goals. The coach left him in and he gave up 7 or more. I can't remember how many it was. They finally pull him. And then he, on his way to the dressing room, he says to the coach, he says, this is the last game I ever played for Montreal. And they trade him like the next day to Colorado or whatever. And I guess people in the stands heard it because the Montreal Forum at the time didn't have glass behind the bench. That was like their tradition or whatever. So, you know, I think of something like that. But, you know, Patrick Waugh clearly didn't want to be playing in that game as long as he was. But you're right. I've never heard of a goalie actively skate to the bench and say, dude, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm out. Yeah. I'm taking myself out.
Yeah.
I've never seen a pitcher walk off the mound and not have the ball taken from them.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't know. It's about competition. Don't you want to try and and shut them down?
Maybe it's not your day, but try to make it your day.
It was only 4-0.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
Wasn't it 4-0 when he pulled himself? 5?
Yeah, 4 or 5.
It was and then he just skated. He just like didn't even blink. He just skated.
He's like, later.
He skated faster than anybody on the Finnish team.
I'm going to talk to JR, see if I can find that steak place he went to that one time.
Yeah. I wonder if that had anything to do with Sutter trading for Toskala today.
Yeah.
Maybe have 2 disappointing goalies on your team.
That'd be nice.
Delightful.
All right, Chris got one more thing. With Pavelski clicking with Kessel so well, do you think Toronto would go for this trade, Pavelski for Kaprile or Komisarek straight up? We would waive Huskins and trade Klofer picks to make the cap work out. You think Toronto would go for either of those trades?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think they'd go for either of them.
You don't think so? Pavelski?
Pavelski straight up for Kaprile? Nah.
I don't know if it'd be straight up, but I'm talking more about the first one. I think they would do that for Komisarek.
Oh, yeah?
I think they would. Mm. If you look at who they've got on the team right now, I mean, obviously, we don't want Komisarek now. He's injured goods, and I think wouldn't be surprised if they tried to move him in the offseason.
Yeah, it could
happen. That team is still so oddly put together.
Yeah.
It's kind of a mess, and they made fun of them on TSN trade coverage today. They showed their roster,
and they were like
and they were mocking it openly. I mean, they said this Pierre Maguire, who, you know, speaking of mocking him openly, he is the oddest shaped man.
He is very strange looking,
and this tiny head and this sort of puffy body.
Yeah,
I guess now guarantees that we won't have him on the show.
Well, I'm sure we're not the first to say that. Maybe he won't listen to our old shows when we send him the email. We're not going to mention that in the email if we ever ask him.
That's true.
Yeah.
Anyways, so he said they're 5 years away from being anything good.
Yeah, yeah.
And they really have no depth up front at all. None.
Well, Chris also has a suggestion for promoting the show, and there is an ongoing contest. I'm calling it. This is the last week of the contest. Next week, we'll announce the winner. There is an ongoing contest for your own, very own, free, limited edition Dudes on Hockey t-shirt in the size of your choosing for the fan or listener or whatever that comes up with the best idea for us to increase listenership, promote the podcast, because we're looking to get some more people. So obviously, if you can do anything in your own little way to get more people checking us out, we're greatly appreciated. But if there's any strategies you have for us, any PR people out there, marketing folks, obviously, we're interested in suggestions. Anyway.
We want the world to hear the dudes.
Yes, right. Today, you guys. Tomorrow, the world. That's the thing.
We're conquering the greater Bay Area.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll even go into Alameda County.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Milpitas.
Dude, so Devil's game last night. You know, there was a lot of Olympians in the game. It was sort of a choppy looking game for a while. It looked like the Devils of old. I know people have said that this is not the Devils of old, even though Jacques Lemaire is back. They're playing an up-tempo game, but for the first two periods, it certainly didn't look that way, did it?
No. It was, I asked you to wake me up when the game was over. Yeah. It was pretty boring. And then, ironically, I mean, after the Sharks scored the first goal, the game completely opened up.
Yeah.
Kovalchuk.
Yeah.
Had two one-on-one situations,
yeah,
with Nabi.
Yeah.
And Nabi played really well in the third period. That actually woke him up. I mean, when he came skating in for that first one, I was like, four, here we go. This is it.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be 5-0 here.
Right, right.
Or whatever. And Nabi made two big saves. And the game completely opened up and allowed the Sharks to get back in it, dude.
That's right. And just that's why you don't leave a Sharks game early, my friends. Because we saw a lot of people leave early when it was 4-0. And then the Sharks came back, almost tied that game. There were some good chances to tie the game.
They certainly had their opportunities, but they did not deserve to win that game last night.
I mean, they salvaged dignity, which I think is a good thing. But it certainly wasn't a great effort overall. I mean, they played about 12 minutes of hockey last night.
Best Shark on the ice last night?
Devin Setoguchi.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He was gaining chances even earlier in the game when the Sharks weren't doing anything of note. And he finally got his payoff. Got two goals in the third. And be nice to see him start to pick it up a little bit. He's got 16 goals now, I think. That's not horrible.
No. And if he can start to contribute offensively, I mean, a lot of things that we talk about the Sharks need to do in order to win playoff series, their secondary scoring is so important.
Right.
And it's just what killed us. Many things killed us last year against the Ducks, one of them being Jonas Hiller. But if the Sharks can't get secondary scoring from Pavs and Seto and Klo, then they're going to be cooked. So hopefully Seto's going to wake up here. You know, some other stuff that I saw last night that I liked, and it happened in that third period. Rob Blake went charging right towards the front of the net and parked his very large body in front of Brodeur. And when he can get involved offensively like that, he's at his best because he's just not the shutdown defenseman that he used to be. That's because he's lost a lot of speed. But when Blake can get in front of the net like that, it excites me, dude.
Yeah.
It makes me very, very happy. Dude, what did you think of Hamburgers last night, home debut?
Yeah, you know.
Hamburgers.
I liked him. You know what I said to myself?
Ooh.
Yeah.
And I said that out loud a few times last night as well.
Yeah, I caught myself a few times just being like, come on, Hamburgers. We should get, if he re-signs, you should get a number 7 jersey on the back, say, Hamburgers.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Oh.
Because he'll be traded the next day. No, I thought he was good. I mean, he is what he's been for the previous games that he's played for the Sharks, which is he's not particularly flashy. He's not, super exciting, but the guy just doesn't screw up. And in a game like the NHL where there's so much pressure, even on the D when they have the puck, and you know, behind the net and you're working in the corners, to not make mistakes is really something pretty remarkable. And so far, I haven't seen a single bad mistake that he's made, which is a lot more we can say.
Seems to make a good first pass, which I like. And also, They've got him playing with Boyle right now. Do you think that's going to stick, dude, or when Vlasic comes back, is it going to get shifted again? Are they going to put father and son back together again?
They could. I like the Boyle-Murray pairing. I would probably stick with that. I like Vlasic and Demers when that was together for the couple of games it was together. I thought that was pretty exciting. Vallin, to me, although I do like him and he's pretty steady, he seems like a number five guy that you want to play on the kill. You give him 18 minutes and you give him some kill time because that's clearly where he shines. But you're not going to expect him to really create a lot when he's on the ice. But certainly in a pressure situation, he's going to handle himself just fine. So that's what I think about Nick Vallin. I think it's, you know, it's a good trade for the Sharks. And, you know, maybe Doug Wilson wants to hold on to him. We'll see. I mean, I think that's pretty likely because he likes to trade for guys and then re-sign him. So especially if he doesn't make a lot of mistakes and we got some young D like Demers, that may be an asset to have on the team. But you don't want to play him too high in the slotting. You don't want to play him on the power play and play him 23 minutes.
No, you don't want to do that. But I think where he is going to be effective is at even strength and on the kill. And that's where we should see him playing the majority of the minutes. And we'll see when the Sharks get healthy how many minutes he really does play. Is it going to be in the 15 range, which is what he was playing like in Carolina when they were going to the Cup? Or is he going to be in the 18-19 range because he's going to have to pick up the slack for some of Rob Blake's minutes?
Yeah.
And I think that's going to have to happen. Because based on what I'm seeing right now, I would rather see Wallin out there than Ken Huskins. So I think I trust him a lot more.
Yes, me too. Me too, absolutely. All right, dude, I'm looking at some emails here. I'm trying to... we got one more email from a little bit about the Olympics here from our buddy Ian.
Ian!
From Canada. I have what might be...
Hello, Governor!
God.
Sorry.
I have what might be a strange question, but it's something that kind of bothered me after the Canadian victory over Russia, so I thought I'd email you for your opinion. After the game, there was a lot of criticism of the KHL players that had been through most of the tournament, but obviously more after that game. Now, I didn't see all the Russia games, but I did think the KHL line looked pretty good. So was the overall criticism of the KHL guys warranted, or was it some pro-NHL chest-pounding by the North American media? I wonder what Ivan would say. So, Ivan Makarov, if you're listening, I'd love to get your take on that as well.
Yeah, I don't really have a totally strong opinion on this, dude. Do you have a take on it?
I don't think that they were any better or worse than what we would have expected. And, you know, after the Mike Milbury Eurotrash comment,
classy.
It certainly doesn't surprise me.
Ironic that he said something controversial and JR just sort of sat there and gaped at him.
Right. And it's also kind of ironic that he's the one that signed Alexei Yashin to about $1 billion over 15 years, Mike Milbury.
That's why he's bitter.
I know. Yeah. So maybe that's what turned him against the Europeans. But no, I didn't see anything particularly different about the KHL players. They're good players. They're fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with them. So yeah, it's obviously a pro Canada stance.
Of course.
A pro North American stance. And, you know, Russia, I always thought their defense was their weakest part. And it kind of turned out that way. And Nabby didn't have a good game at exactly the wrong time, and they got bounced by a clearly superior Canadian team. That's what happens.
Nicely said, dude.
Thanks, dude.
Awkward pause.
Awkward pause. Well, I was looking at the next email.
Oh.
Let's see here.
God, I would kill for a drink of water right now.
Dude. Anyway, let's go to the trade deadline, dude, because there's lots of stuff to talk about, even though the Sharks didn't make a move and we were hoping Cabrelet might be coming our way, but that was, you know, a pretty far out, you know, wish. But there were plenty of moves today. How would you rate your overall satisfaction for trade deadline day, dude?
C?
Really?
I'd give it a C.
Yeah.
I guess it's hard because a lot of the bigger moves that if we didn't have the Olympic break, you might have seen the FNUF trade today. You might have seen some of the other moves happen today. The Wallin trade for us probably would have happened today. We would have felt some sort
Jokinen.
Of... The whatever. Jokinen deal might have gone down today. So it seemed a little dead. There were a lot of really small moves. As we were looking through this, there are some guys that, I mean, we don't even know who they are. We had to look them up. So, and some odd teams were really active, which I think...
Yeah, I thought that
I almost
strange.
Found it irritating.
Like how active Phoenix was.
Yeah, I was angry with them.
Yeah, because they like traded everybody for everybody else.
I wanted to shake them and say, who do you think you are?
Well,
you who?
It's a new GM trying to make a statement. I don't know.
He made a statement, all right.
Yeah. I'll say. So, dude, you want to hit some highlights of the trades? Like, what were some of these trades? You know, there's a lot of, you know, Matt D'Agostini was traded for Aaron.
Well, that's
Palucha,
an interesting trade. I mean, in that, you know, we won't really know the result of that, but those are two interesting young potential top six forwards.
Yeah.
That clearly D'Agostini probably couldn't wait to get the hell out of Montreal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now he'll have a fresh start playing with some pretty talented young players in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid, I can't even say his last name.
Well, it's Palushaj. So I want to say it's Palusha.
I was going to say Johnson.
Yeah, it could be.
Aaron Palusha. I think you're right. He seems like a decent prospect.
Yeah, plays at University of Michigan, has some good numbers there. He's only just a rookie at University of Michigan. So, you know, he's doing well, though. I think he's doing real well there. So that could be an interesting acquisition by the Canadiens.
Let's talk about Phoenix, dude.
Yeah.
Some of the things that Phoenix did today, they traded a 2011 fourth rounder for Derek Morris.
Again, Derek Morris.
Bring him back.
Yeah.
Hey, well, you know, some people like to eat TV dinners over and over again.
Derek Morris is the classic looks good on paper guy to me. I mean, yeah. You look at him and you say he's a big guy. And he plays defense and his numbers are all right, but he never kind of, you know,
no,
he kind of disappoints.
That's why I call him the TV dinner. I mean,
yeah.
You go to the store, you look at the Hungry Man Salisbury steak and the packaging, it looks good.
Yeah.
You take it home, you microwave it, it's cold in the middle,
yeah.
And you feel bad the next day.
That's right.
And if your water shut off, you're in trouble.
Dude.
So Derek Morris is that Hungry Man, dude.
Yeah.
I don't get it. And the funny thing to me is, you know, so Boston basically just says, please, please take Derek Morris.
Yeah, that's what that
we'll
is.
We'll take anything for him.
Right.
Because we have to get Dennis Seidenberg.
Yeah, and they do.
And they did. And you know, when they got him for a guy who is like an AHL player in Craig Weller.
Yeah, Craig Weller.
They got him for a young guy in Byron Bitts who's a young bottom six forward. He's kind of, I mean, I don't know that much about him, but he's, what I've read, he seems like a young Jed Ortmeyer.
Yeah, he's kind of
okay?
Like that.
An energy guy and a second round pick. So did Florida get what they needed to get for a guy like Dennis Seidenberg, who's probably one of the most coveted players at the deadline?
I think so. Considering he only signed a 1-year deal, I think that's a pretty decent return for Florida, to be honest with you. Byron Bitts is certainly a serviceable player. I don't know about Craig Weller and a second-round pick.
They also included a prospect, Matthew Bartowski, who was their 15th-ranked prospect by Hockey Future. He's playing college hockey at Ohio State. So I guess they had to throw him in because Seidenberg's unrestricted.
I guess.
I don't know. You know, Florida's a team that's trying to remake themselves, and what did they really get out of this? Only Byron Bitts?
And a second-rounder.
Yeah, but a second-rounder, I mean, you draft a guy in a second-rounder, he's not going to see the NHL for 4 years.
Well, Florida's not going to see the playoffs for 5 years.
Disband that team.
Yeah, yeah.
From all that hype about how they were going to make some major moves, they laid a stink bomb today.
They didn't trade Vokoun either, and actually it's probably good for us, or bad for us, depending on which, because one of the rumors was he might go to Chicago, and they might try to get a goalie upgrade, and that would be horrible for us, but that means he also didn't go to Philadelphia, which would have been good for us because we have money on the Flyers to win the Stanley Cup, which isn't looking so good right around now with Ray Emery out for the season.
Yeah, Michael Layton holding down the fort.
Michael Layton.
How about some other stuff that Phoenix did?
Yep.
I know we're going to kind of roll through it in order here, but there's so many things that I just don't
care
about.
They made another big trade today, I thought. That was the Wojtek Wolski trade.
That's a good deal. Now, I think that's a pretty good deal for them. And they gave up a guy like Peter Mueller who is on the path to bust-em.
Yes, but he also has more potential upside than Wojtek Wolski. So they trade a guy who is they're much more uncertain about and get a guy that's a pretty good player right now. And Peter Mueller could end up, you know, playing with, you know, Paul Stastny for all we know.
Sure. Why not? I mean, if you're the Avalanche, I kind of like this move for them. Because, I mean, they could have done what Phoenix did and trade a bunch of low-level draft picks and try and make, they're going to make a run.
Yeah,
you know,
including Derek Morris.
Yeah, I feel like Phoenix feels like they're going to make a playoff run.
Yeah.
So they trade, you know, they gave up a bunch of picks today, albeit low ones. But, you know, I mean, for a team like Phoenix that doesn't have a lot of cash, I mean, they gave up, by my count, a fifth rounder, a fourth, a sixth, a seventh, two prospects and Peter Mueller to get guys who could play on the roster right now. Now, I mean, everything below a fourth rounder, it's a crapshoot, right?
Oh, yeah.
But that's still players to get in your system for a team that's rebuilding. And their return is Derek Morris, a guy who no one wanted in the free agency, and Lee Stempniak, who, what's been his best season, dude?
Probably back with the Blues, I would think.
But what did he have? High 40 points?
Maybe, yeah. I don't know.
That's I'm going to have to look that
You're
up.
You're going to have to look that up. And now they get Volsky, which isn't a bad move. But then the one trade, which is crazy, Matthew Schneider. They go get Matthew Schneider. I mean, that's a playoff rental move.
I take it back. 52 points
52
for
points.
Lee Stempniak 4 years ago. Okay. Yeah. So last year he's in Toronto and he had 44 points with St. Louis and Toronto.
Just,
I mean, I don't know.
That's not exciting.
Whatever. Yeah. You know, that's going to put you over the hump here. And Schneider, dude.
Yeah. What?
What? You could have had him for free.
You could have had him
on
nothing.
Waivers.
Yeah. And now they're going to trade a prospect and a conditional sixth round pick for him. It's like, huh? Get him on reentry. Couldn't they have gotten him on reentry probably?
I guess.
Maybe.
It's very strange. And, you know, Phoenix, are they going to make the playoffs? Maybe.
Yeah, I
mean,
so.
They might. I guess the evil dude side of me wishes they didn't. And that, you know, come on. This team should be rebuilding. Colorado has the right attitude here.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. They know, hey, if they're in the playoff party, good for them. But they're not going to. If they win a playoff series, they should be dancing in the streets there.
Mm-hmm.
They have no business even being in the top eight right now. And if they make the playoffs, honestly, I don't know what the standings are right now, if it's close, but I'd be surprised. You know, I just don't know if they're going to be able to hang on. But they're looking long-term here. Kevin Porter's not a bad prospect. He's ranked fifth on the Phoenix Coyotes. So they get their fifth prospect plus Mueller for Volsky.
You know, another team in the Pacific Division that kind of did something similar was the Los Angeles Kings, which I was kind of surprised about. They got these good young players, and they go out and they trade Teddy Purcell, who, you know, maybe they're not they mustn't be very low
on
Teddy
Purcell. Yeah, undrafted guy.
But, you know, and a third-round pick for Jeff Halpern. Now, Jeff Halpern, I mean, okay.
Yeah, he's a decent bottom six center.
So you're going to trade a guy that has some upside like Teddy Purcell and a pick to get Jeff Halpern. That's a playoff run move. Yeah. Why make that move?
Don't forget the conditional pick for Freddie Modine.
Yeah, exactly. That's another move. I mean, Freddie Modine.
Well, Modine was an important player in the Lightning Stanley Cup run.
Yeah, which was 2005.
Right. So I think what they're looking at is for the Kings, I mean, they're thinking, okay, we're the four seed right now. And Colorado, by the way, is the six, but they're only 6 points away from being out of the playoffs.
Where's Phoenix?
Phoenix is the five.
Yeah.
So they're 9 points ahead of Detroit, who's the eight seed right now, by the way. P.S.
Oh, God.
Okay. So, you know, if you're L.A.
I'm not happy with either of those moves if I was an L.A. fan.
Well,
you know, why make that move?
Well,
why make
I moves? Think they're trying to win a playoff series. And did Modine and Halpern give them the opportunity to do that? I think it makes them better today. And did they give up much to make it happen? Not really. Purcell, these moves didn't bother me as much as I think they bothered you. Modine's salary comes off the books at the end of the year. Halpern, I think I'm looking it up. I think that he is also coming off the books at the end of the year. So there's, both of them are off the books. So there's no long-term commitment here. So really, they just gave up a third-round pick. They didn't care about Purcell.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess they really, you know, the saying is that you may not know what you're going to get in a trade, but you should definitely know what you're giving up. And clearly, the Kings didn't want to keep Teddy Purcell around.
Yeah, if they can win a playoff game or series, you know, anything can happen with a talented young team like that. They could be last year's Blackhawks that make it past two rounds. That wouldn't be impossible for the Kings to do.
Yeah.
Not probable,
no,
but
likely.
Not impossible.
Right.
Dude, can we please
talk
about the Anaheim Ducks?
I knew this was coming.
Dude.
I know.
What is in the water?
A lot of funny stuff that happened in the Pacific Division today, I thought. Can we
talk about what they did?
Wacky stuff.
Okay. Here from what I can see here, what the Ducks did. All right. In total.
Yeah.
In the last, you know, today. Well, let's look at what they did today.
Yeah. Today.
Today, they
traded.
The big one was Ryan Whitney and a 6th round pick for the ever dangerous, always injured, and signed forever, Lubomir Vyshnovsky.
Right.
Thoughts?
No, I don't think that's necessarily a bad deal for Anaheim. They're obviously betting that Ryan Whitney is not going to live up to this standard that he set right before he signed that big contract of his. You know, he's got, 20-something points, low 20s in points. Vyshnovsky has over 30 at the moment, so he's obviously a more offensive defenseman, but he's got a bigger cap hit. Edmonton was trying to clear salary, and the Ducks thought they could take it. So, you know, this is the one deal of the day that I, you know, don't think is a bad deal for the Ducks. You know, they got the Vish for, you know, a few less years than Whitney, and they're not willing to think that Whitney's going to pan out, because if he has another bad year like this year, he's untradeable. So they decided to cut and run. I don't know. You think it's worse than that?
Well, I don't know, dude. Ryan Whitney was an Olympian. Yeah. I mean, he's not a bad player.
For the U.S. I'm just kidding. And frankly, to be perfectly honest with you, he wouldn't have been in the Olympics if Paul Martin or John Michael Lyles
were
healthy.
True, but he was there, dude.
I know.
He didn't embarrass himself. He played well. And Vyshnovsky's so one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
He's really just a power play quarterback. He's making $5.6 million. They're signed for the same amount of time. They're stuck now with Vyshnovsky till 2013. He only played 50 games last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he played 50 games last year. He's played, you know, most of the games this year. He's banged up constantly. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm his best years were 2005 through 2007. And, you know, his last year with the Kings, he only had 41 points. Last year, 31.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if this guy is worth the money. And so I think they kind of blew it here. Like, I think they're stuck with his contract. How good is this going to look when he's 37 and he's making $5.6 million?
Yeah.
It's not going to look that good for them.
Probably not that
good. I'm delighted. I'm delighted because I love to see them fail. This is my question for you, okay?
Yeah.
I think this deal was not originally for Vyshnovsky. I think it was for Sheldon Surrey.
Oh, you think
and that's
so?
Why it came down to the end, because Surrey is out for the year now with an infection in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Man, bummer.
So they had to decide, do we still want to do this? Let's switch to Vyshnovsky. I wonder what, if we have any Ducks fans that are listening, or maybe we can talk to Sleek about it. It just made me wonder what would the holdup be on this?
Yeah.
That maybe it was supposed to be Surrey.
Could be. They also got Aaron Ward, which I think is a bad deal.
Stupid.
Aaron Ward.
You get Aaron Ward.
Who cares? They
they trade Toskala to get Curtis McElhinney so they could clear the room to take on Vyshnovsky. Then they get Joey McDonald from the Toronto Maple Leafs, and then they trade Nokalainen to the Coyotes. It's just, I feel like Bob Murray sort of has like a game board in his office, and he just spins the wheel, and whatever his name it lands on, and then the team that lands on the other color, he calls them and tries to make a deal. I don't get it. I don't think, how are they getting any better, this team?
They're not. They're just not. I mean, a 6th round pick for Nokalainen. I mean, I'm not saying he's a great player, but you know, he was a decent 4th line player at one point, and a penalty killer back in the day when they traded for him. And that's not a lot of return for,
I mean, that was one of those guys that they let Moen, Paulson, and Niedermeyer walk away because they believed in Nokalainen.
Yeah.
And now they got a 6th round pick for him.
Yeah.
Good job.
Good job.
Good job. Can we talk really quickly about the Nashville Predators?
Yeah.
No Dan Hamhuis moving.
No Dan Hamhuis.
But they add Grebishkov.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So what's that about?
And they add Dustin Boyd. So this, I mean, so a team that desperately needs scoring, they didn't address it at all.
Well, they must have been asking for a lot for Hamhuis and didn't get it. I don't know. That's my only guess.
So strange. So it's like they jumped the gun by trading for Grebishkov, and then something happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they ended up not being able to make that second deal. Dude, overall, who was the winner in the NHL at the trade deadline?
The winner? I want to say it's the Ducks because they just got rid of Toskola, but that would be pretty... That's not actually true. Actually, you know, I'm going to have to say that the Washington Capitals were the winner because they got Milan Jurchina back for only a sixth-round pick, which was a little strange, and they picked up Joe Corvo. And as loyal listeners know, we also like Joe Corvo, and we were maybe hoping that he might come along, maybe with Nick Vallien, but that didn't happen. And, you know... The Caps shored up their defense for the playoff run. They made a couple of good moves, in my opinion.
I agree. I got to say, they're the winners. I like them picking up, you know, guys like Eric Bélanger and Scott Walker. I mean, even though Scott Walker's definitely has seen better days.
Yeah.
I mean, he can play 10 minutes.
Sure.
And he's gritty. He's been to the playoffs. He's been in a playoff run before. And they bring back Milan Jurchina. For some depth. I think the Capitals did a really good job. Loser. Who's the loser of the day?
It's the Flames. They got Vesa Toskola. I mean, that's so lame.
Dude, the worst deal ever is they gave a third round pick to the Oilers for Steve Staios.
Yeah, Steve Staios.
Who has the worst plus minus in the entire NHL?
Steve Staios?
Steve Staios. Minus 19. Okay? Oh, I know the Oilers suck.
Yeah.
But Steve Staios kind of sucks now, too, at this stage of his career.
Yeah.
He is slow.
I like Steve Staios once upon a time, but I think better years are behind him.
Daryl Sutter is...
Is he actively trying to blow up the team?
It's like he's in an episode of 24 and he's strapped the TNT to himself.
Right.
And he's waiting for one of the Sutter brothers to just run in and detonate him.
It's like that guy in the Hurt Locker where he has like the padlocks all around him and the bomb on him.
That's
you know,
it,
and he's
man.
Like, please, yeah, help, yeah, help. Yeah. But, you know, and then you figure out later he's the one that put all the C4 right. on himself.
That's Daryl Sutter.
Yeah.
Boy, man. I am so confused by him.
We got to move along, dude.
Dude.
Too much trade deadline, dude. Oh. We got to get to some emails here.
Oh.
Tom asks, looking at the roster today, how do you think this team compares to last year heading into the playoffs? Tom, as we mentioned earlier in the show, is also concerned about secondary scoring. How do you feel, dude?
I think our secondary scoring is in good shape. I think Manny Malhotra offers a lot. I think having Jamie McGinn on the roster instead of Jody Shelley is going to be a big boon for the team. I think that area, we've addressed it.
I think there's no doubt we're better than last year. You know, not having Christian Ehrhoff, it's a bummer. I think Nick Vallien is an
In some areas, it's a bummer.
That enabled us to get Danny Heatley. I think Nick Vallien is certainly an upgrade over Brad Lukowich, as much as we like Brad Lukowich. And Danny Heatley is a playoff performer. He's I hate using the word clutch, but he's a clutch guy that produces. You know, certainly our top end scoring is better. Certainly our bottom two lines are vastly better. I think overall we're a better team heading into the playoffs. I like our chances better this year than I do last year, for sure. That is contingent on Vlasic being healthy, though. If Vlasic isn't healthy, then all bets are off.
Well, the good news is it sounds like he doesn't need surgery. So, you know, it looks like Vlasic should be back in the next week or two. And I don't know. I would have felt better if they were able to. You know, I know that we were sort of hyping each other up today for the possibility that Caberle might, you know, be a real possibility. And I still would have felt better if the Sharks had used their depth up front to make that move to get a player like that. But it's possible that quality of player just wasn't available.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks like, you know, to meet the price for a Joe Corvo, you know, what Carolina wanted was a player like Pauthier, who... is an NHL caliber defenseman. He's in his early 30s. So who is that? Kent Huskins. So they would have wanted Kent Huskins and a high level prospect, but they didn't want to really take any money back.
Right.
You know, so that was a problem.
Yeah.
And Sharks couldn't do it.
All right. Last email, dude. Then we got a sign off from Hans. Who's the first email. Thanks, Hans. He's a San Jose expat currently living in Denver. So.
Okay.
Thanks, Hans. That's
Hans
cool.
from Denver.
Hans from Denver. At the playoffs ended today, he gives us the rankings, which are slightly out of date. But anyway, he says, assuming the Sharks can overcome their past postseason meltdowns and get to the second round, who do you think we would match up against the best and the worst?
Oh, boy.
And Hans has one other point that we got to get to.
Well, we're number one right now. Mm-hmm. So should we take the top four teams, which would be San Jose, Chicago, Vancouver, and LA?
Right.
I guess. And I think we have to include Detroit in there. Best, I guess, we match up best against...
Was the third? Vancouver?
LA, I guess. LA. I mean, we seem to have LA's number lately.
Yeah.
Right? So I out of those five, I'd pick LA just from their relative inexperience.
But I mean, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Vancouver's really banged up on the blue line, though. So right. You might want to rather see
Vancouver.
Take
Vancouver over LA there.
Who's the worst out of those, dude?
Well, I mean, we can't face Chicago in the second round, so that's not possible. But who's the 5, 6, 7, and 8?
Yeah, I mean, the worst is Detroit. There's no doubt about it.
If Detroit moves to the 6 and beats Vancouver, then we have to face Detroit. That would be the worst, I think.
Yeah, or if Detroit is the 7 and knocks out Chicago, we'd get them next.
That's not going to happen.
Dude, what do you mean?
All right.
Ooh.
Chicago's a juggernaut right now in my mind.
I totally disagree.
Okay.
Well, I think that if Detroit plays Chicago, hockey karma is going to bite them in the butt. Dude.
Okay. Last thing Hans says, he has a bet with his coworkers. You know how we love bets.
Yes.
We're going to the Sharks Avs game here in early April so he can see a real team play. Haha.
Nice.
When the Sharks win, he has to wear a San Jose Sharks jersey, and if the Avs get lucky, I have to wear an Avs jersey for a week. I've got Nabby, Patty, and Thornton's jersey. I'm leaving it up to you as to who to torment him with. Or we can make it a poll question. No, we should answer this question because this is important. What jersey should he wear, dude?
I think he should leave it open to whoever plays the best in that game.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know, just to stick it to him. Like if Thornton has 4 points, then yeah, you got to wear Thornton. Yeah, right. Nabby has a shutout, then it's Nabby.
Right.
Good call, dude.
Thank you.
Okay, there's your answer, Hans. We punted, basically.
If Jed Ortmeier scores the only goal, then maybe he should go shirtless.
Yeah, or then you just like put like the white tape over the other numbers and make him into a, you know, 41 or whatever.
How about you take your jersey and you take some tape on the back and just write dude.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
On the back.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. All right, dude. Show. We are so over time. We love talking about trades, but we'll be back again, hopefully back to the regular time next week, same time, same place, and hopefully the Sharks will be a little bit more stable then. And we'll talk to you then.
Curtis McElhaney.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.